Hey, 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 it's me, Katie here. Grab a notebook and a cuppa and join me in the Sociology Staff Room.
Hello and welcome to the Sociology Staff Room. I am Katie Tyler and I've got a guest here today, Bridget Gray. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
And thank you, first of all, for coming on.
That's okay. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. So we're going to be talking about global development today. Something I know literally nothing about. And that's something I'm not proud of or in any shape. I'm not saying it like, oh, well, I know nothing about global development. I'm very excited because hopefully we'll be able to sort of enlighten myself on that a little bit more. I have been teaching for such a long time, but I've never really sort of checked out the bullet points. I'm a little bit nervous. So maybe that's why we can sort of talk about it a bit more. But before we start, Bridget, tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, what's brought you here as a sociology teacher and come to, you know, education as such?
What's brought me here to the podcast or teaching?
Or just anything, teaching, sociology, the podcast.
I've been teaching probably for nearly 25 years, although I'm having a very short break at the moment for some family things. But So this year I haven't been teaching. I've just got students that I tutor in the evenings. But otherwise, yeah, teaching a long time and I've taught. So I did a social science PGCE at Manchester Met many years ago and I've taught politics. That was my degree, politics A-level. Sociology, psychology, and then like PSHE, citizenship, history, RE, geography, you know, health and social care, all of that. But sociology has always been my favourite, definitely. And I was thrown into sociology not that long ago, but it was old spec. So it was probably 2013, I think.
Yeah.
When I was working in a school and the sociology teacher left at Easter and they were like running around the corridors, you know, does anyone know anything to do with sociology? And I had a politics degree. So it was like, here they are, here's your year 13. And they were doing global development. And so that's how I started teaching the sociology. And that's how I ended up global development. But I love global development from the first minute because, well, A, I always like politics and I always really like teaching geography as well. And when I was young, traveling, gap year, that kind of thing, I always wanted to work for Oxfam. I always wanted to work in that kind of field, but didn't. So it's just always been really interesting teaching the global development. It's always been my favourite option in the sociology
course. So have you taught anything, like obviously, like have you taught any other option? Obviously you have to teach another option subject, but have you ever deviated from that? No,
right from the beginning. Once I've made my resources, I wasn't going to make any more. So they did families, which I've got different views on, but the kids find families nice and straightforward. So that was always one that I'd start with. And then global development. Well, I loved it. And whilst the kids might not always have liked it at the beginning because they found it really difficult, really challenging, they did nearly all love it by the end. And many went on to do, say, geography with international relations or development as a degree. Or I had one a few years ago, he was doing German and international relations, sociology with development, sociology with international relations, politics, all those combinations, and lots of them really, really were inspired by this unit. And we used to chat about them going off to work at the UN and working in refugee camps and working for Médecins Sans Frontières and Oxfam and all the NGOs that we'd looked at in the topic, and they were all very excited about it and wanted to throw food at helicopters and that kind of thing, which is not what the unit's about. I'm joking, really.
But it offers that inspiration to students, basically. I can tell your passion for that, like as a subject, as a topic, and that you've pursued with it since like 2013. So with global development, obviously that was one of the, like you sort of hinted around it, but the students may not always find it as engaging to begin with, and then it ends up being something they may even pursue at university or even a career in the future. And by the end of it, most of them like it. So tell me a little bit more about that. How do you, you know, first of all, why is there, do you think, that disengagement from students? And then secondly, how do you, obviously you've got a wicked sense of humour, so that might have something to do with it as well, but how do you then get them on board? Like, to okay. What happens? What magic do you put into place?
I force them to like it. So firstly, I think they find it hard because it's not like any of the topics. Not that I've taught the others. So this is my very biased opinion. Because it's not in the UK anymore. So everything else seems, well, they are the ones that I've taught. And then I have done bits of media and I have looked at health. I also, that looked quite good. But they're obviously all in the UK. And that's great and everything. And therefore the kids can get their head around it quite easily. You know, they've been to hospital, they've been to the doctors, or they've got a family of whatever form it is, they can visualize it all. But the minute you start doing global development, it's just beyond their imagination almost for so many of them. Mm. And that is in the schools that I've taught in. So I'm sure other schools might be saying, no, not in my school, you know. But I live in the middle of nowhere, and so it's rural and that kind of school. So they find it difficult because they need to have lots of cultural capital to be able to get it. So they often don't have that. They often don't have the history knowledge of colonialism or the geographical knowledge of the countries that you just might mention really quickly. They're just like, where's that? What's that? Is that a continent or a country? They just don't have that understanding. There's also quite a lot of economics in the topic as well. So we're talking about taxes and tariffs and global trade rules and the World Trade Organization. And this is, they've never thought about this. If you're in a big college and kids are doing economics and politics, that's probably, will have a different experience. But in my semi-rural comprehensives, we don't have the money that city schools have. And so they don't have this kind of subject choice. You know, sociology is as out there as it gets, kind of thing, in the option blocks. So it's beyond what they're used to, and it needs a lot more general knowledge, which they might not have. So you have to start quite basic and you have to keep it simple. And I think I use lots and lots of videos and video clips. I scribbled some down early so I could remember them. Because when I started teaching it, also I just didn't find, there were no resources anywhere. Then you just go to tests and find stuff, and there wasn't anything. So I became quite dependent on even some of them, like promotional videos for NGOs like Oxfam or MSF, which is the Médecins Sans Frontières. That's just my favourite because I like saying it. but also they have really good resources on their website. And some of those videos, they cover the whole unit in just a 2-minute video. The United Nations, the Millennium Development Goals, all of these websites, all of these organisations are really useful. So I think using lots of videos helped with that sort of broadening their understanding. Yeah.
So like you said, there's a sort of baby steps for those students. Because it's really stretching that. When you were talking, I was just thinking sociological imagination, like it's not necessarily something that they've maybe even thought about. So it's really stretching that sociological imagination. And the things they have seen may have been quite stereotypical because of mainstream media. I'm sure that's changed a lot now since the sort of growth of social media in itself, that there's probably a bit more wealth of information there. But then there's also like the sort of fake news element to it as well. How does that sort of, because obviously you take those baby steps, at what point can you sort of get into that sort of deep analysis then? Like, is it, because obviously you've got to have to compensate for that. Like, how do you find you've got enough time to teach it? Like, you know, like trying to think of sort of, most people sort of teach it a topic like a half term, like it's over a term, half term, just under, over, the option topics. Do you feel that compared to, say, the family unit, does that take longer or about the same time?
It probably does take a bit longer. Yeah, it does. And you're right, it is important to get, they have to get into that depth or it just doesn't make sense. So it kind of keeping it simple and baby steps at the beginning so that they can begin to understand the theories as well. Because the theories have got different names. They're like modernization theory, dependency theory. So that's another
So
little
how do they
hurdle.
find that? Because obviously, like, you've got your sort of normal theories, like, as in, I say normal, that's quite loaded. I mean, like, your typical theories, sociological theories, and then you've got, hang on a minute, guys, we've taught you all these theories, now I'm going to teach you some more.
Parsons is still there, so
Yeah,
it's
it's okay.
okay. Yeah,
Duncan
he's still
Parsons
there.
and Marx, all
I
right.
might, they've got different names, but it's similar. It's still that old debate between this one and that one, like functionalism, Marxism, modernization, dependency. It's still, and then the same with like sustainable development comes up as one of the theories, and environmentalism, they don't fit, but they're two big ones. They still fit as that for and against debate, really. So it's small steps at the beginning and they need to have the basic understanding, but quite quickly it all sort of starts to slot together. And there are so many links in this topic, far more than families, far more within the within the global development unit, I mean, compared to within families. So like topic three, I'm just looking. Topic three is the role of TNCs, transnational corporations. Well, the TNCs come up then. They are the main part in topic four in industrialization and urbanization and the environment. And then they're also one of the main parts in employment and education and gender. So the links within the topic, within the topics are huge. So once they've kind of got their heads around it, and that's why you have to start with the basics because they are absolute building blocks. And once they've got their head around that, their confidence just grows and they start to see, oh, right. So I can link the TNCs to women, and then I can link that to this and that, and back to education, and back to colonialism, and everything. It's just sort of it all comes together. In fact, one student said to me many years ago, when we started another section, she went, "It's just all the same." That doesn't really sell it. But she had a point that it's like, here's another little topic, education, employment, the environment. And yeah, we are saying similar things now that this is the situation, people don't have this, and these are the reasons why. So yeah,
Yeah,
I
so
thought that was
within
interesting.
the no, like, so within the topic itself, global development, there's a lot of links. Like, I know what you're saying, because like, I'm thinking about the ones I've taught, but say nothing against the family unit, but sometimes I find that when you teach a family unit, you sort of teach some bits, and then some things just really stand alone and not as they might not. I mean, to the students particularly, they feel quite standalone. They're harder to interlink with everything else, and then there's stuff that does, and it's and I find that as well with the police unit. I find there's bits like that just seem there, and also the contemporary level of it as well. Like, I think some of the stuff with some of those topics, more sort of the preferred topics, the popular topics, that there might not be say, the same degree of contemporary ness. I can't even think of the word. Like, there's not as contemporary as whereas obviously global development is fast moving. But then I suppose, is that a barrier in itself with like making resources? How does that work? Because obviously, when you're making resources, I suppose there's two questions, right? So there's two questions thinking, as I was talking, I was like the barriers, what are they? But is it the making the resources? Like, because obviously you've got that contemporary element. But I was also thinking like the sensitivity of the topic, and how that might fit in with the teaching, and how do you deal with that? So I appreciate there's a lot of questions there. And I realise I'm just putting you on the spot with those questions. But as you were
I'm
talking
writing them
about
down. I feel like I'm on a news show. Just write that down.
But yeah, I mean the
Okay.
contemporary element, how do you maintain or keep abreast of the changes?
That's a really, really important point, actually. I think there's two parts to it. Similar to some of the other topics, you've got your classic studies, and there's also then like classic events. So, so you can use the Bhopal gas explosion, which you'd also use in crime. And you, the BP Horizon oil spill, which I would use in crime as well. So they're quite old. I'd also, in the war and conflict topic, I'd cover the Rwandan genocide, which is really quite old now, not old for me, but old for the kids. Mm. So you've got your sort of big events that, yeah, like classic case studies. And then at the same time, keeping it really contemporary. So things like I would direct them to, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but the Guardian newspaper have a development. Okay. Because it's free, isn't it? So it's good for the kids to access this one. Mm. So they have an actual development section. So my more able students, I would encourage them, and I would always frequently be bringing in newspaper articles. And again, some of those articles, they just cover the spec. It's also relevant. That's what's amazing about the topic, is what is happening out there in the news, on dispatches, on Channel 4 News, wherever, is exactly what is in the book. It's quite weird, actually, sometimes. You sort of see a bestseller book by, like, Naomi Klein or something, and it's like, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, like, these vulture funds that buy up the developing world debt or whatever. It's like, it's in here. I was fortunate enough to be, I don't want to show off, but I was fortunate enough to be in Zimbabwe recently, and I was in a cab with a guy who was a driver. And I thought, oh, this is an opportunity. I can't not take this up. And so I was just talking to him about the involvement of China in the Huangyi National Park area, because they've built, Chinese companies have built, power stations. That's it. And I was just asking him about it in a very open way. And he basically described neocolonialism, which is, in the textbook, it's just what it is. And we've talked about the impact of colonialism from when the UK was there, and he talked about corruption, and he talked about neocolonialism, and he talked about the destruction to his country. And it was the saddest, most wonderful trip and the saddest trip. But from the perspective of sociology and the global development, everything he said is in the textbook. And so it's incredibly relevant. And so the resources, it's just out there. It's just watch the news. And so my more able students have always done that, and they've dipped into the news shows, newspapers, the odd thing for the New Internationalist or something like that.
So what about the sensitivity of that? No, because obviously, like you said, there's a wealth of knowledge there. And obviously, that's, I suppose, what I can clearly see from you and your students, I think, because part of your personality as well, that it doesn't feel like a chore because you've shared that passion with them. So, like, you going on and finding these extra resources isn't a chore. It's because you're interested in global development. Yeah. So where you find things, it's just a case of sharing that, and I can echo that. I teach stratification and differentiation, and I feel the same. I feel like there's a lot of that that's very, very, very contemporary. But I've almost got too much to share that I can't share it all because it's information overload. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get to the point where I'm like, you know. So I actually, one of my students came up with an idea that I just post on a Tuesday. So it's called Tuesday Newsday. I only post on Tuesday, because otherwise I'm just posting. I could post all the time because it, like you said, it's everywhere. So I suppose it doesn't feel like an, like, you've got your classic studies and you've got your classic theories, and then your real life contemporary examples can feed through that, but they're not like, oh my goodness, I've got to now spend an hour
looking at resources. You're right, you've got to limit it. And I've tried, it's like similar to what you've just said, a Newsday, Tuesday, whatever. I have tried similar things. I've never done Twitter or anything with the class, but similar platforms. And I've put, so this is extension stuff, this is extension stuff. There'd be extension reading, the basic homework tasks, and then extra bits, because there's just so much, and you keep having to remind yourself it's only a 20 marker, it's not a PhD.
And, but it's, you clearly see your passion though, and that's what the students are picking up on, is that enthusiasm. And, you know, that's what's clearly being shared, and obviously the students not only are learning this from you, but also the passion that you have for that. But what do you do then in regard to sensitivity of it? Because obviously there's going to be some sensitive elements to that topic, I'd imagine, more so than some of the other ones potentially. I don't know, maybe equally sensitive, but because I suppose the contemporary nature of it, it's very fresh in the news. Do you have to avoid certain things to talk about or not? I don't know, like, or do you just
interesting. In my own, just my experience, I have had more problems with the sensitivity of the course in other topics. So in families and in crime, like with topics, because I mean, like domestic violence and sexual violence, it's all over the course, isn't it? So those have caused more personal issues in the classroom, definitely, than global development has. I wonder if there's just that slight disconnect with global development. Yeah. You're always talking about countries far, far away kind of thing. However, there are some really tough issues to cover, even like Britain's role in colonialism and history is difficult because, well, it just is, well, that's really difficult. And like, oh, and really you're only doing that as a bit of background. That isn't the course. So you have to handle that quite carefully and obviously in that objective teacher way. And that's quite hard. The other thing that I did do most years was I'd start the course showing a film. Now, this, some people might not agree with me at all. This film might be a bit dated now. So I haven't shown it for the last few years, but I always started off showing the film Blood Diamonds with Leonardo DiCaprio in it. As at least then, and I may well be challenged on this, I felt that the film almost covered nearly every topic in the course, and I could keep referring back. I say, remember when you saw the World Food Programme, and remember when we saw the refugee camp, and remember what happened when the little boy then is education, and everything's kind of connected. And well, this goes back to drawing them into the course. They have all loved that film. I mean, they sat, what's the word? Enthralled by it, with tears coming out of their eyes. They loved it. But it has some really nasty scenes in it. There's some brutality and some hand chopping off and some really gruesome stuff. So I suppose like anything in sociology, you warn them beforehand, talk about it beforehand. If they don't want to take part in that, it's absolutely fine. They can pop back in half an hour or talk about it after. But they're sixth form students and this is the world that they live in. And yes, it's tough, but you just have to be nice about it. Sort of supportive teacher, but you can't hide from it really, because then you're not teaching them.
It sounds like a really important subject, like actually, like, and I know, like, you know, I think geography is moving into that direction of, I don't know enough about the geography curriculum, but I know they are, and I know that some elements of politics are, and economics, as you've said, as well as like your history or the students' history subjects are. I know there's a sort of more global theme to that. And obviously globalization is like, because that's my sort of like one of my questions was going to be, you know, how you mentioned that there's lots of links within the topic, but I'm sort of assuming that because it's so centered around globalization, does it fit quite nicely with other topics? Can you make links to sort of education, crime, families, or not as well because it is standalone? Yeah. Or?
Bits, and it's weird you mentioned globalization because I wrote that down earlier, because I think I'll just say that before I forget, because my age, I'll forget very quickly one thought that goes in one my head. So with globalization, often in the topics it's this awkward chapter, isn't it, that kind of like falls into the topic, and then you have to like answer this 10 marker on childhood and globalization. It's similarly awkward in the global development one. It's just there, topic two in global development, globalization and its influence. And again, it's like, but because of the role of TNCs and global trade, you're right, then it fits in absolutely everything. And it does, this whole topic does fit with the other topics that they've done. So for example, families, the modernization theory, one of their points of view is that a barrier to development is the extended family and collectivism and connection to your kinship and everything. So their solution to development is, you know, like ditch your family, promote individualism, get off to the city, fame and fortune on your own kind of thing. So that links really nicely back to the family unit because they understand all those concepts. And also when we look at women in development, that links really nicely back to families because they're able to use expressive and instrumental again, like, you know, these words. So that's always nice. It links to crime when you do industrialization, the environment, war and conflict links to the crime topics. And I said already they tend to pick the same big case studies to look at there. So that really covers, has lots of crossovers. But like when I do the theory questions, the 20 marker theory on paper 3, and I've always taught that yes, you can be a really top student and talk about like pure theory, as I'd call it, and Gramsci and Marx and have that debate. But if you're not quite that student, you can still get a really good mark by just talking about say it's a Marxism question, Marxism in education, families and crime. And I've never really been able to get them to draw global development into those questions. That just hasn't ever really worked. So sometimes I think they've got, not shortchanged, but they don't have as much to draw on for those theory questions. But
yeah. But then I think, like you said, like, I'm just thinking of like how people feel about it. That you sort of may lose with one, but win with another. Like, I know that a lot of people find state crime, human rights crime and green crime quite challenging to teaching in crime. I think crime, I think lots of people say crime is, it keeps on coming. Like, there's more, and then there's more, and then there's more. So you do like class, gender, ethnicity, then you do corporate crime, and then you do state, you know, we know victimology, prevention, and then you're like, we're nearly there yet. No, we've still got a few more bullet points to teach. But actually, there might, for lots of teachers that are not teaching the global development, that's the bit that's quite challenging, is how do you then make that link in to other topics. And actually it does feel quite, I mean, for myself, I feel sometimes it feels quite standalone. And now I teach justification, it doesn't feel so much because obviously I can bring the human rights element into it. But it can feel quite standalone, particularly green crime. But I suppose you've got those nice reference points. So you might lose something, but gaining something else potentially.
Yeah.
And also, like I said, the globalisation element as well. So, and that relevance that they can bring across. I suppose there isn't a perfect formula of topics. And I think that sort of the key thing is your passion in spreading that for the students as well, which is and keeping that contemporary element. What would, if any teachers are thinking about moving to this, because I know, maybe not right now, because people are wondering, like, you know, we're talking about like spec development and making resources, and I suppose maybe people might not be thinking about changing. I don't know, like, do we do it now or do we wait? It's that sort of limbo stage, isn't it? Like, you rest all the time and then it's like, oh, is it a gamble, and I make all these resources and then like it's no more sort of thing. But if you've got people that are thinking about moving, just because, like, the same sort of things you've discussed already, what's your sales pitch for it? What would be your way to convince us
to start teaching it?
Because
I think it is the most important topic, and on the one hand you've got, well, I've got to teach my kids to pass an exam, but on the other hand you've got, well, I'm a teacher and this is their education. So it might not be the easiest unit, no, but I think that can be ignored because it's just so important that young people understand these global issues. So it's, for me, it just feels like this is real life. These are real issues that really matter. Like, and we can't ignore them. We can't hide away from them. And the more globalized we get, so here we are, it actually is really relevant. The issues of poverty around the world are going to impact us more and more and more. Not that that's a reason to study it, because that's just another selfish reason, but with climate change and war and being more interconnected, we are a little global village. And what happens to women and men and children in Zimbabwe should be could be, should be bothering us as well. And so maybe try to convince people to teach it. Well, it just makes me sound really bossy that all the topics are really good. I like this one because I like this one because I think it matters more than maybe some other issues because of its global nature and because of the severity of the impact of poverty on people's lives. That's the thing, isn't it? So if a child can't go to school because there is no school, because there's a civil war, or they live too far away from it, or they have a disability and they can't get to school, these things really matter. Now, and I can say that because the reason I'm at home is because one of my children is not at school for lots of reasons. But that's not a global problem. It is a problem with the British education system. Yes, I know, definitely. But it's a smaller number. And this poverty around the world affecting, the bottom billion, as Paul Collier wrote his book, which would be a book I'd recommend. It's a billion people being left behind in kind of like medieval type living. So yes, we've got huge development in India and the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, huge development. Meanwhile, I mean, yes, visiting Zimbabwe recently, and even in Zimbabwe, you've got huge wealth, but there were children standing at the side of the road filling the potholes in with grit. You know, it's just like appalling, absolutely appalling when there's so much wealth. So this topic just gives young people a little bit of insight into why these injustices exist. So they get to look at the World Trade Organization. They get to look at the impact of colonialism. They look at corruption. There's a lot of neoliberalism in here, actually, which it does make more cross-course links. A lot of neoliberalism and their explanations for poverty is pretty much corruption and mismanagement of the economy. So, and it's really useful because the kids can say, but that president is corrupt. So the neoliberals are right. And they're not normally used to thinking the neoliberals are right because they don't really like them from families because, you know, they blame single mothers for everything, don't they? So it's almost a bit weird. And then it's weird again when they do the aid topic, which I made a note that I must mention that one, because the aid topic is one that often really clicks in kids' heads because they've been brought up always, raise money for charity, give money to charity, you know, Red Nose Day, all this kind of thing. And the aid topic just throws that on its head. And they suddenly start to think, oh, maybe me giving money or my country giving money to a poor country is making the situation worse. And it's an amazing debate to have. Absolutely amazing. Whatever the right answer is, I don't have an opinion on that, but it's a brilliant debate to have. And there's there was a video clip that I would show them, and she's mentioned in the textbook, but Dambisa Moyo, I think she lives in New York, a Zambian economist, I believe, by trade, but I'm sure she lives in the States. She's so against aid to Africa. She just wants to stop it in the next 5 years, just fade it out. And she's so convincing. And whenever I show that clip and we talk about her with the kids, at the end, they're just silent and they're just like, oh, this is a whole other idea that I never thought I could agree with. It feels wrong to start to think that aid has got a bad side. But that's really, really interesting for them.
I think what it sounds like it's doing is really like stretching that critical thinking. And so like going back full circle to the start of our conversation is that sociological imagination and really thinking outside the box. And I suppose because they haven't, maybe I'm wrong in saying this, that maybe like from only because what you said about your students and maybe lots of different students, depending on where they live in the country and what school they go to, they're potentially more objective about the information, although obviously they're going to be loaded with different information they've got from the media, but it's not something they've lived or lived experience. So it's fresher and newer for those students, and so can engage in a different way that they say, like the family unit or the education, like you said at the beginning, they're all based on the UK education system with small reference to sort of an international experience or global experience. And so this is completely new, and so it's really stretching them and their thinking. And so, like you said, like you teach in an objective way, so there's the sort of negatives and the positives and the questions that may surround it, which really sparks those students' interest. And what might be interesting, I was just thinking as you were talking, I'm personally not going to move at this stage, like, oh my, just because I'm just changed, you know, topics, But what might be really interesting is I personally run a sociology society. My students run it. I'm sure lots of other people do that. And it might be quite a nice opportunity to just pick a couple of bullet points from a different topic and then maybe teach that. And it might actually enhance your other topics. As you were thinking, I was like, I've never thought about this before. Like, lots of people will run some sort of enrichment activity debate society, and it might be a nice opportunity to pick up a sort of a perspective point from global development or health, for argument's sake, and explore that. Because like you said, it stretches those students and get them to think outside their sort of the world that they exist in potentially. And that ultimately, like you said, is that a role of sociology teacher. It isn't just about getting the grades and going to university. It's also that sort of a student for life sort of thing and understanding the world that they exist in. So yeah, I'm going to speak to my students and say to them, like, do you fancy picking up on one of these bullet points and exploring that?
I think it's a really really good idea, and it's a really, people often wonder what to do in these when they're told you have to run a club or something, don't they? It's like quite difficult. God, do I but yeah, I think something like the aid and debt topic, those bullet points would be, they'd be so eye-opening and so useful. To the point, over some of the times I've taught it, at the end of the lesson they were like, "Oh, I'm never going to give money to charity again." I'm like, no I do anyway. So
yeah, well, it's getting them to think. I think that's what you like. Yeah, getting them to think about it. So it's a good sort of like starting point. And I think you've answered one of my questions: is where do you get your resources from? And I think, like you said, it's from maybe literature, like the books that you mentioned, the websites from the sort of charity organisations, as well as like the Guardian has development things. So using those sort of contemporary resources. Yeah. On a final thought, Is there like a go-to resource that you think out, maybe one you've already mentioned or a different one, if someone is either thinking to move to it or, like myself, maybe do a debate on one of those points to explore in a little bit more detail?
I think, well, the best textbooks, like for teaching the course, if I can say this in my opinion, is Ken Brown. So the Ken Brown Global Development Topic chapter is just brilliant. They were published a while ago now, weren't they? But it's still got loads of links, loads of ideas. And the way that I've discovered like Paul Collier and Zambisa Moyo is whenever there's a person I've not heard of when I started teaching it mentioned in the textbook, you just Google them, find out where they lecture, where they live. That sounds weird. Find out where they lecture. If it's a university lecturer, I'll always email them and see if they want to come in. I haven't had one for global development, but I've had that for crime before. They're like, oh yeah, comprehensive school, definitely, tick, they love that. And their books, and then they're always on YouTube now these days. How do people teach without YouTube? Well, I remember, but I did. So they're all there. So yeah, Ken Brown, the Collins textbook's also really, really good in my opinion. It's too dense, but it's got brilliant activities in that are good for setting homework when you're told you should be setting more homework. But they're quite useful as well. I did write down, so those are the textbooks, yes. And then there are some people online who've got global development resources, and I relied heavily at the beginning on, I think it's Carl Thompson. He's got a sociology revision website, I think, and he's got lots on global development. I'm sure that's right. I don't think I've made that up. And then, yeah, all the videos. Oh yeah, and the films. So like Blood Diamonds and Kevin MacLeod of Grand Designs. They're like, oh yeah, my mum likes him. They, so I know it's old, but he did a a documentary where he went to go and he spent a few nights in Dharavi in India, in a shanty town. Spontaneous development, sorry. So he went and lived there, and it was amazing because it was just, well, it's quite good, actually. It's quite good. All the news clips and those and The Guardian and that, yeah, those, yeah. Oh, and the reading. So there was Paul Collier, who wrote The Bottom Billion, Dambisa Moyo's book, Dead Aid. That's brilliant. And then there's like Jeffrey Sachs, who worked for the UN. He wrote The End of Poverty. That was a good one. Conan Kennedy did the globalization book. So whilst I've read some of them, or I might just dip into a chapter and you get a really good bit of knowledge from those. And speakers. So you can always email NGOs like Oxfam they have a network of speakers. So it can depend if they might not always be good. It's lucky. We were always really lucky because we are in Oxfordshire. So Oxfam, obviously, it's local to us. And for 2 or 3 years in a row, for some reason, it was a bit random, but we ended up getting sort of one of the chief people came to talk to my classes. And they were able to talk about, really have a very challenging discussion about aid and the pros and cons of it. And then obviously there was the Oxfam scandal. So that's all been very contemporary and very useful. Yeah. Oh,
amazing. Honestly, I'm very interested in this. I feel like I think it's good to have these discussions about things that are options that are available and how those make those links. As you were talking, I'm conscious of time, but as you said at the beginning, I was thinking, like you said, like you were talking about globalisation, and it makes me think as well, like how to restructure my own teaching. I'm almost thinking to myself that, I don't know, people teach very differently, but I always do sort of an introduction into the theories and then like look at class, gender, ethnicity, like and socialisation, because they're sort of the core themes that run through every topic. Yeah. So the kids are all set up, sort of like my introduction to theory and methods, so I sort of revisit it all the way through. But I'm almost thinking more so, and since talking to you just now, that almost I feel like I need to have a sort of standalone lesson on globalisation, because I feel like when we introduce globalisation in education, it's like, I mean, yeah. I know you did the face like, oh, it's globalisation. But I wonder if I had to almost go, what is globalisation? What are the features of it? We're going to look at this in education, stratification, global development, whatever your topics you're going to be teaching, family. But at least they've got that narrative before introducing. I don't know, I was just thinking about it and I thought, oh, that might be an idea.
Yeah, I think so. I've not done that, but I think it is probably very sensible.
Yeah.
Because it's not a core theme, is it? But it is something that AQA, obviously, they want it taught in the background of the whole course. So I think not quite like that. But what I think what I have done when we're revising at the end, I'll do a few lessons just on globalisation, like globalisation across the course. And it's just a big mind map, really, and the links to families and education and everything. Because it is one of those that draws everything together.
Yeah, definitely.
But it probably makes sense to do
that. I don't know. I haven't done it. I just, as you were talking, I was like, oh, and that's why it's good to talk. That's why it's good to talk to other professionals, because it gives you that chance to sort of think and reflect. But thank you for your time. I really, really appreciate it. And you clearly are passionate about it. Your students are very lucky to have you as a teacher who is very passionate about sociology and what sociology means. So thank you.
No,
it's good. Thank you so much for your time, and have a lovely day.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
The Sociology Staff Room is brought to you by Tutor2U Sociology. Find us at tutor2u.net/sociology, or follow us on Twitter at Tutor2USoc or Instagram at Tutor2USoc. You can also join our very lively Facebook groups for sociology teachers. See you soon.